Thank you, Greg, for reading our gospel lesson today from the Gospel of Luke. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. It had been a long night for Simon, Peter, and the other fishermen, which included James and John. Working in a common fishing village by the Lake Genesaret, they were responsible for bringing in the region's staple food, fresh fish. The village relied on fresh fish. The merchants relied on the fish to sell at markets, and the villages beyond relied on those markets to be stocked so that their families could eat. Many people relied on the catch of the day. As those on land slept that night, on the water, in the dark, the fishermen were hard at work, knowing many people relied on their efforts to bring in a big catch. This was not an individual effort, but a group effort. In fact, historians that study this region have found that most fishermen used trammel nets, where these were long nets that could be stretched for several hundred yards, which required multiple boats to work together. It required teamwork and cooperation. Yet as night gave way to the first rays of sun, the fishermen returned to shore with not a single fish, zero. They put so much time and energy into their work, but at the end of the day, they brought in nothing. We can imagine that on top of being physically exhausted and mentally exhausted, they are also discouraged, disappointed, and perhaps drained of motivation. It is not a big leap to say that many of us, at some point in our lives, can relate to the fishermen. Some of us this morning. For some of us, it is our job, our work that pushes us, demands our time and energy, only to come home at the end of the day wondering if we made a bit of difference in the world. For others of us, it could be the work and energy we put into relationships. We exhaust ourselves making effort after effort to connect and show someone we care and love them, to only be ignored or carry on as if nothing has happened. Yes, we may feel like them that our efforts have little or no return. This past Wednesday, we held our first book study class on Climate Church, Climate World, where the author Jim Antel lays out our common complicity in global warming and states that the churches have a moral and theological obligation to repair and redeem the creation we are destroying. In the first chapter alone, we read one statistic after another, that we are in the midst of the sixth mass extinction, that the acidity of our oceans from CO2 are killing fish and coral reef ecosystems, that glaciers are melting at alarming rates, flood season is lengthening, our fire season is 78 days longer than it used to be, deadly storms are happening more frequently, one fact after another. Not to mention, climate change exacerbates nearly every social issue in society. It contributes to hunger and homelessness, as well as deepening poverty, racial inequalities, and the global refugee crisis. One participant in the study named what most of us were thinking and feeling at that time as being so overwhelmed what difference could I make? Some of us put so much work and effort into our occupations and our relationships and into praying and working for a whole world that we can feel rightly overwhelmed, buried in doubt or helplessness, especially when things are beyond our control. And if any profession understands this feeling, it is fishermen, having to deal with all the circumstances outside of their control. Simon, Peter, James, and John, and the other fishermen pull their boats ashore next to a large crowd of people who have gathered on the beach. They begin washing their nets, a task that comes at the end of the workday. And as they are cleaning up, the crowd begins to grow larger. And then the rabbi, Jesus, comes over and asks them if he could borrow one of their boats so that he can pull off from shore as a way to speak so that everyone can hear his teaching. Now, we don't have Jesus' lesson plan for the day, but so far in Luke, Jesus has been teaching about the good news to the poor, proclaim of release to the captives, and to let the oppressed go free. In other words, his lessons have been focused on God's kingdom, a community where God's healing and restorative work is happening so that everyone can benefit from God's abundance. And so again, we don't have Jesus' full lesson plan, but we do know that he was a good teacher. And good teachers aren't the ones that simply read and lecture, but they draw their students in. They demonstrate and reveal what they want others to know. So we also have to wonder in this story, is Jesus just applying the lesson that he is teaching the crowd? And so when Jesus finishes talking, and in the company of everyone else, he tells Simon Peter to put out into deeper water and drop his nets. Now, Simon knows this is not the time of day to catch fish. He is discouraged and beaten down from the previous night, not to mention he has fished these waters all his life. What would a man from Nazareth, a son of a carpenter, know about fishing these waters? And you can sense there is exhaustion and doubt when he says, "Master, we have worked all night, but we have caught nothing." But then Simon Peter does this. He says, "Yet." Yet. "We've worked all night, yet," he says, "I will let down the nets. Because you have asked this of me, I will do it." He has faith. Yes, Simon may have some doubt. He may question Jesus' approach, and he is tired and beat down from the night before. But faith, when Jesus says, "Push out into deeper waters and drop your nets," Simon Peter says, if you say so, Jesus, I will." You see, faith is not about knowing the exact outcome or how it will all play out, but it is about trust. Trusting that God is good and God's goodness is abundant. And when we have faith and follow that voice and teaching of Jesus, it can lead us into abundance. Back in December, First Congregational Church in Columbus recognized this growing need of families in their community, struggling to make it due to the continuing pandemic. And while they couldn't fix every issue in their community, they specifically felt God's voice calling them to push out and to help the children in their area. The Children's Defense Fund of Ohio was recommending that organizations considered paying for a week of childcare. And so they went to a daycare where 94% of its children were receiving Title 20 assistance. On average, in the state of Ohio, and Jessica and I can back this up, it costs about $808 per month for infant care. For families with multiple children in daycare, that cost could put other financial obligations at risk, like rent, groceries, medical bills, student loans. In just 3 weeks, the church raised over $14,000, wildly surpassing their expectations. And this allowed them the abundance to provide daycare for every child, all 42 children in the month of December. Mark Williams, the Christian Ed Director, said, "We want this to be a teachable moment. It's to show how when we put our faith into action and how it can make a huge difference in people's lives. Faith in the good news Jesus lived. Faith in the restorative work of God. Faith in the voice of Jesus led to an abundance, yes, in resources, but also an abundance in awareness and advocacy to help struggling families in times like these. All of it, good news." As the story goes on, Simon, James, and John, and the other fishermen, caught so many fish that their nets begin to break. They had to signal to other boats to come help them with the load that they were bringing in. And even their boats began to sink. After a discouraging night, Simon's faith in the voice of Jesus meant that the town would eat, the merchants could sell, and those far away would have food as well. While any fisherman would have been delighted by this bumper crop, Simon, James, and John realized the true value of what happened was not so much of their catch, the value of their catch, but the value of being with and listening to Jesus. And so when they had brought their boats to shore, Scripture says they left everything, including their massive catch. Left it to follow the voice and teachings of the one that taught love and justice is the only way to true abundance for all. We live in a discouraging time, a time when violence and hate is validated as legitimate political discourse. A time where we possess tools and resources to reverse the devastation of climate change, only to not have the willpower to do so. A time where we have medicine and treatments that can work miracles, only we limit who has access to those miracles. We may have difficulty keeping our faith in times such as these. But then we hear that voice. "Master, we have worked all night trying to stay positive, trying to show grace, trying to live your love in these times." And Simon Peter says, "Yet, if you say so, I will." Friends, as you go into this next week, whatever we face, we are never truly alone, and there is a voice always calling to us, a voice that leads to grace and peace and healing, a voice that truly is good news for all creation. And so the question I invite you to take into the week is, when we hear it, how will we respond? Are we prepared to follow? May it be so now and always. Amen.